All right, but and welcome to the Loony Witch Podcast. Ooh, with me, Kat.
And me, Amy, who will not be putting on an accent.
I wasn't doing an accent, I was doing a spooky voice.
You sound like the count from Sesame Street, like one, ha, ha, ha.
Don't redo it then, Noah.
No, let's keep it. Okay. So today we're coming to you on the full moon, and it is the Hunter's Moon. And it is the first full moon after the harvest, and it was called the Hunter's Moon because the fields would be cleared, making it easier for the hunters to catch their prey. So this moon kind of brings us our shift in seasons, and it's one of the ones where we need to embrace those changes along, you know, as the season changes. But how are you doing?
I'm good. As soon as you said changes, I was just like, changes. Yeah. I didn't know that about the Hunter's Moon. That's very interesting.
Yeah, I guess it does make sense. If you had like massive crops and stuff, it would have been easier to
hunt
animals. Yeah, on the plains and like stuff like that. So amazing. Yeah, I guess it makes sense.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you. Enjoying October. I'm wearing a corduroy pinafore.
Nice.
And I have pumpkin tortellini for dinner. So
ooh, lovely. Yeah. I've got a old man's two-piece shirt and trousers on, and it feels good. It cost me £2.
Charity shop.
Yeah, I'm loving suits at the moment. I'm loving formal attire.
Amazing. Suits you well. I've seen the photos, and you're looking good in it.
Thanks, babes.
Oh, but, thanks.
Yeah, so it's the month which we base our whole personalities off, which is nice.
I know, it's the month where I feel the happiest. You know, I love this time of year. I love the leaves. I love candles and cozy things, and yeah, it's lush, you know.
I don't like having the heating back on. I'm not feeling that at the moment, but it has to be done.
Well, we've only just put ours on today because the heating broke, but it's fixed, and I have had it on for a little bit today. The problem with losing a bit of timber is I now feel the cold, which is a shame.
Timber?
Yeah, as in like losing a bit of, you know, chub.
Oh, that's so funny. So today we're going to be talking about Samhain, or in Welsh, Calangar.
Yes. Oh, you'll hear people pronounce it Samhain as well.
Yeah. I said it wrong, didn't I? Fuck.
I think most people that listen to the podcast would have read it and say Samhain. And I think most people will see that and say Samhain. But it is Samhain. And I think it's Samhain if in Wales. But we also call it Nos and Calangaeaf as well. So
I said that one wrong as well. So yeah. So Calangaeaf, so it's the first day of winter in Wales, which usually falls on the 1st of November. But the night before is Noson Calangaeaf, which is Spirit Night.
Yeah, so it's this one's going to be a bit different, isn't it? We're going to kind of split some bits and pieces because Kat's got all the sort of Welsh history and I've got maybe some of the other bits that you may be like more familiar with through paganism and just from loving Halloween. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's many people that would listen to our podcast and not like Halloween.
It is synonymous, isn't it, with witchcraft? Like, when do you first discover witches when you're younger? It's Halloween.
Exactly.
When your man puts a bin bag on you and cuts holes in it.
Oh, good times. No, you couldn't get away with putting them in a bin bag now.
Oh my God, they would get ripped to shreds by the other kids though.
Yeah, definitely. But it was proper good.
Yeah, I enjoyed.
Yeah.
I didn't mind it was a bin bag to me. It was a beautiful, glorious enchantress's cloak.
Yeah. My nan used to carve a Swede instead of a pumpkin.
Well, yeah, that's traditionally what I'm going to talk about. That. It traditionally was turnips.
Oh, but, yeah. Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
So should I go through some Samhain or Samhain stuff first? So as Kat says, this will fall on the 31st of October, and it falls between the autumn and the winter equinoxes. So what Samhain means is summer's end, And yeah, it's a pagan festival, but it crosses so many different sort of cultures as well. And it's kind of referred to as the Witch's New Year's Eve. And it is a highly mystical event when the veil between the worlds and this world and the next becomes thinner, and the spirits and the fairies walk the earth. So very similar to things like Day of the Dead as well. It's the same kind of theme, and they happen at the same time of year. So we've got this thinning of the veil. So
yeah, it's funny how that's across cultures in the Northern Hemisphere, isn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think there's a few different ones as well. There's something called, I did read about it all earlier. Some people call it All Saints Day as well, mm-hmm. and the Feast of the Dead. So, and the third, some people even call it the Third Harvest. So it is definitely a time of year where a lot of stuff happens. So with sowing, it's a time to remember and honor the dead. So lost souls who have departed this world are more likely to check in with us during Samhain, and psychic abilities are heightened at this time. So if you do feel a little bit, I don't know, connected to spirits normally,
and ancestor work,
you definitely feel it more at this time of year. The Celts thought of it as the Feast of the Dead, and they would light fires to illuminate the way home for those spirits in the spirit world. So again, I think that's similar to the Day of the Dead, where they do, is it like marigolds or something? They put along the paths for the spirits to find their way home.
Oh yeah, no, I didn't know that.
Yeah, haven't you seen the film Coco?
I have.
And right. they may not be marigolds, but I know marigolds are October's flower. And yeah, they put like flowers and stuff in Day of the Dead to attract people closer. But it's also associated with the Greek goddess of witches, which is Hecate. I can never say it.
Hecate.
So Samhain is perfect time to, you know, communicate with your spiritual helpers and receive psychic guidance. So lots of different things like to cover. And then again, because we know we have loads of content for this episode, because it's one of those ones, isn't it? We're excited and like, I want to talk about all the things.
Everything. Yeah, I want to talk about everything.
Yeah, so we're going to split. So it's not just me talking for ages, and it's not just Kat talking for ages. So I'm going to share some bits now, and then Kat's going to chat. You know how podcasts work. I don't know why I'm explaining it. You know, like, you know how podcasts
work. We're going to talk and you're going to listen.
Yeah, that's the plan. So, I thought I'd go over some stuff for altars. So I'm really looking forward to redoing my altar actually for this, because I haven't done it yet. So your symbols, pumpkins, apples, corn, gourds, dried leaves, marigolds, as I said, crows, cobwebs, bones, broomsticks, cauldrons, lanterns, and the moon. So loads of stuff. And of course, your colours are black, orange, red, white, and gold. Of course they are.
Of course.
Your herbs are mugwort, garlic, rosemary, nettle, and bay leaf. And when we're looking at crystals, it's black obsidian, a bloodstone, onyx, smoky quartz, and carnelian. And apart from doing your usual kind of ritual work and spell work, there's loads of different things you can do on this day to like honor it, to celebrate it, or just, you know, a nod. So the one that I did last year is you honor the dead, and lots of people do this differently, but you set out a special altar. Some people do this outside by their front door, or you can do it next to a fireplace or anywhere in your home. And what you do is you like put an offering plate. So there may be food, drinks, a bit of drink in like a goblet there. And you would put pictures or items of those that have passed that you would like to visit your altar. So if their spirits came to earth on that day, and they were people that, you know, were close to you that departed, you could almost put this offering there for them. So I did it last year where I put like sweets and stuff for like my grandparents, and I put their photos, and you light a candle as well. So it's kind of like, again, very similar to what they do in other cultures. You can also do something called a silent supper. Have you heard of this?
No.
I only learned about this earlier today. So it's where, of course, in a lot of things that we've talked about, haven't we? There's been a lot about feasts.
Yeah, I love a feast.
Yeah, so this is a completely silent feast. So you would eat and you would hold this feast with other people in complete silence. You would light candles and you would create a really peaceful space.
Because I don't like the sound of that. I like to chat while I eat.
Yeah, so I think it's supposed to be like a really sacred thing. And you would even clean up like the plates and stuff and clear the table in complete silence and be as quiet as possible. So even when you're sort of, you know, cutting your meal and you're chewing, you're being really aware that you're silent. And again, it's just supposed to be another way of honouring.
Yeah, it's a veneration. Yeah.
So they're like, again, things you can do with other people as well. So when I did my little sort of altar for the dead, me and Dave did it together, and we sort of, you know, set that all up. And yeah, other little things is you can use a broom or a bassoon, and you can sweep negativity out your house. Apparently now is a really good time to cast a protection spell and to share stories with your family. Again, it can either be reminiscent in general, or it can be about those who have passed. Divination is supposed to be, again, really good at this time of year because of those extra psychic abilities. So doing your tarot and your, what's the floating crystal thing?
Scrying.
Is that what it is?
Where you look in the water?
No, when the crystal goes between stuff on a string, on a chain. I've got one.
Dowsing.
No, that's dowsing rod. Is it the same?
No, you can douse with a crystal on a string as well, or a chain.
Oh, I thought it was cool.
Where it swings. It swings and it tells you things.
Yeah.
Dowsing.
Oh, we sound...
Correct us if we're wrong.
We were professional then. You can cook family recipes using things like apples, nuts, cinnamon, ginger, pumpkin, and root vegetables. Carving a pumpkin as well. I know it seems like a Western thing, but like as in like a really modern thing, but carving a pumpkin, a jack-o'-lantern is actually like part of the history of it as well. So that's a nice one. I always carve loads of them. I think it's really relaxing and... it's just cute as hell, isn't it?
It's fun. Some people do these very intricate, amazing ones, you know, where they do the different layers and things. And mine is just always so basic. I always do a cat.
I find it really hard to do curves and stuff in the pumpkin. But yeah, I normally do a jack, a skeleton. And I think last year I did moons and stars.
You can buy like proper tools these days.
I know. But I like to go traditional with it, you know?
Yeah, just a very, very sharp knife.
Yeah, dangerous with it.
Yeah.
you can visit graves, and it's also because it is known as Witches' New Year, you can set intentions as well. So, yeah, that's a little bit about your standard kind of Samhain, Samhain, Halloween activity, apart from, you know, my other favourite activity, which is, you know, getting dressed up and getting drunk as hell.
Yes.
And dancing. Yes.
Yes, we love dancing.
We do.
So I wanted to talk about some of the traditions in Wales. So you said about going to graveyards. So traditionally people would avoid churchyards.
Oh, okay.
And stiles and crossroads. So anywhere like a conjunction, as that's where spirits were thought to gather.
The crossroad thing is... that's like throughout sort of lore, isn't it? Because you'd have crossroad demons.
Yeah, so funny how in different, like different cultures, they have a similar thing. It's weird that there's like this commonality. I wonder if anyone's ever studied this. Probably. It's very interesting.
Mm.
But talking about dancing, so they would create a Cael Cyrth, which a great fire, and to celebrate, people would dance around the bonfire. So one traditional game they would have would be to write the names or to mark rocks, and you would place them in and around the fire. And then later, when the fire started to die, you all had to run home, or else if you're in North Wales, I Hwch Di Gwta, which was a tailless black sow ridden by a headless woman. Or if you're in South Wales, you'd have to watch out for I Lady Wen, the white lady, so the ghostless apparition. She was also headless. So they would chase them, and if they didn't get away from her, she would eat their souls.
Oh, no.
Did you have a white lady where you were from?
No, because Philly has a green lady.
Oh, yeah, of course they do. I think it's a green knight.
No, it's a green lady, and they light up the castle green at night. And then I used to go to, what was that, Llangrannog, with school, and I think there was a white lady there.
We had a white lady on the Bwlch. I think on the Rickos as well, there was like a, you know, there was like ghost stories about a white lady, and she would like stand, like every now and again, someone would be like, oh yeah, I was driving home and she was stood in the middle of the road holding her head.
Oh, let us know if you have a lady, a ghostly lady, and what colour she is.
Yeah, tell us.
In
tell
your us area. Yeah.
So they'd also say that the last child home would be eaten. So all the kids would have to run home quick. And then, so the next day, the stones of the villagers' names on them would be checked. And then if your stone came out of the fire clean, that was very good luck. But if your stone had gone missing, you were fated to die within the year.
Oh, that's just going to give you anxiety for the rest of the year.
A fun game for the family. Think about it, if you didn't like someone very much, you're like, I'm going to fucking take his stone. And he's gonna
as if you didn't like your sibling, you'd push him down the steps, wouldn't you, when you were walking up your house? Going, yeah. Ha ha, you're last now, you're going to be here.
Yeah, you're going to be.
That's what James would have done to me instantly. Would have pushed me down the stairs.
Yeah, I would have done that to my sister. I'd have locked her out of the house. I'd be like, fuck you, the white lady's going to get you. Ah, sibling love. So they would also carve turnips.
That must be so hard.
With scary faces to keep the spirits away. And they would do tuco fala, which is apple bobbin.
Oh.
And then people would wear masks and costumes. And the reason people dress up scary was so that, like, ghosts and apparitions would think that, you know, that they were ghosts and apparitions too, and not kill them.
And this is the thing, isn't it? When you hear people go, there was no such thing as Halloween when I was little, because that's something that, you know, boomers and that like to tell us.
The war, nobody had fun in the war.
Oh, or, well, even after that, like, people in our parents' generation go, oh, they didn't have such a thing. It's been happening for hundreds of years. Just get over it.
If not thousands.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, like, people would dress up in masks and sometimes women's clothes to scare people. They go around to the houses getting people to give them money, and then they go and spend in the pub. Lads, lads, lads. So some people believe that tailors practice witchcraft, so they'd avoid them at Calan Gaeaf. And as it's the last harvest festival, there would be a traditional game that they would do with the last sheaf of corn. So as it was cut down, so the last few bits of stalks were left uncut, and people would twist them into a harvest mare. I've never seen a harvest mare, but in Scandinavia, they do it with a goat at Christmas time. So it's like a corn dolly, but made out of like twists of corn. I don't know if you've ever seen. I've never seen a mare.
No, I've only ever seen the doll. I've never seen an animal or a goat.
For a picture and post it. But yeah, so to win the game, the men who had been harvesting and reaping had to sneak the mare into the house while the women were working on the feast. And they had to sneak it in without anyone catching them. But to sabotage them, women would meet them at the door with buckets of water to soak them. So imagine that. You come home, you've been in the fucking field all day, and your wife's just like, rah! Fuck your mare. So the reaper who successfully snuck the mare into the house and detected, they were given lots of beer. They'd have the place of honour at the feast. And then they'd hang their mare with pride over the hearth. And then the people who didn't manage it would just be mocked because they were soaking.
All right. That's a man thing, isn't it?
One time a year, you get to chuck a bucket of water in their face, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, true.
probably the only bath they had all year as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I wonder, because like in a lot of medieval cultures, like bathing wasn't a done thing, which contributed to the Black Death, actually. But I wonder what it's like in rural areas, because if you're by a river, surely you would go and wash. It feels nice to wash.
Does it just get to a point, though, where you've never been clean, that you just think that's how you feel?
Maybe. I don't know. Like, if you've ever been clean, you would want to be clean, surely. And, like, I think it depends on, like, I don't know, in some, like, Christian cultures, like, you never get undressed. You're never nude.
I think people, you just don't know, do you? Mm. I went on a school trip once. I can't even explain it to people now because it seems strange. But when I was in primary school, we used to go on these like history trips that were like for 5 days. And we go to different areas of the UK and we do see different castles.
That's
amazing.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, we were only really young, about like 8 or 9. And we'd stay like with school like for 5 days in hostels. And the first one I went to, we went to this place. It was definitely Tudor. It wasn't like Black Country or anything like that. And you had to dress up as peasants for the day. And you went around this village and there was a manor house and things like that. And at one point, we all decided to walk barefoot through the mud. And it did feel amazing under your toes. So maybe that's why. Maybe being dirty after a while feels good.
Yeah, no, not mud on your feet, surely.
You just don't know, do you? Because
no.
You know, I'm sure if you've had your life and you've never had a bath and you've never had a wash, that just feels like the norm. It freaks us all out, you know, when we, you know, the first thing we all do when we come back from a festival is like jump in the shower.
Yeah.
It's because we're used to being clean.
And change your clothes.
Yeah, exactly.
I think imagine never changing your clothes.
Yeah, nothing like that. You know, you're not cleaning, you're not doing sheets and stuff like that. So
never being nude, that'd be awful. I love being nude. I once dated a never nude.
Did you?
Yeah, unfortunately. That was weird.
How does that work out?
They just never took all their clothes off. It was weird.
So only a bit, only the bit that needed taken off.
Yeah, basically. never again.
Okay.
So to keep witches away, people would ring the church bells all night. Remember we talked about the bells last time? So they'd ring them all night. And then people would wear their underwear inside out. I don't know why that kept witches away. And then they'd also keep a hagstone by the door. I'm still looking for a hagstone.
It seems that everybody that our podcast follows on Instagram has found one recently. They're clearly getting more luck than us.
Soon I will find one.
Yes, but yeah, definitely.
That's my bit about Welsh Halloween.
Lush.
Calan Gaeaf. Am I saying it right?
Noson Calan Gaeaf.
Noson Calan Gaeaf.
Yeah. I think
really?
So.
Who fucking cares? Like,
it's a hard language. It's not easy. I don't think it's an easy language. You'll get there.
Thanks, babe. Thanks for your encouragement.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so I've got a tale from the Mabinogi to tell next, if you want.
They're my favourite tales.
Quite in keeping with the theme, as it all centres around a cauldron.
Lovely.
So today I'm going to tell you the tale of Cerithwen.
Lush.
So Cerithwen was an enchantress who lived near Bala Lake in North Wales. And in the Mabinogion, she was the mother of Criwi, a beautiful woman. But her son Morfan was hideously ugly, and she was really worried that because of his ugliness he wouldn't be accepted into court or prosper in life.
Oh, so okay.
In the poems, it says that she possessed the cauldron of poetic inspiration and science, so Anwen.
Okay.
And Cerithwen, so she thought she was going to make a potion that would grant Morfan the wisdom and inspiration in order so he could fit into society and become a very impressive person. So this potion had to be boiled for a year and a day. And obviously she wasn't going to do it herself because she's a great enchantress. So she tasked Mordra, a a blind man to tend the fire underneath the cauldron, and Guyenbach to stir it. And it contained every charm-bearing herb according to the books of the astrologers. There we are. So she's made this potion.
Okay.
And on the last day, Guyenbach is stirring the potion and three hot drops spill out onto his thumb. So instinctively he puts his thumb into his mouth. And in that moment, he gained all the wisdom and knowledge that was intended for Morfan. So in his infinite wisdom and knowledge, he knew that Cerithwen would be angry. So Gwion fled and the cauldron burst into two and the rest of the potion became poison. And it went into the stream and killed the horses of Gwyddno Granhir. And that stream is still named after that to this day.
Oh.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Cerithwen comes back and finds the spell ruined and she's fucking tamping.
I bet she is.
Yeah. So she picks up a piece of wood and smacks poor blind Mordor upside the head until one of his eyeballs falls out.
Okay. Right.
Love eyeballs in this, isn't there?
Yeah. Why are they so loose?
I don't know. They just fall out everywhere.
Is it because he's blind and they're kind of dead?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think if you hit anyone hard enough, you can pop their eyeball out.
Grim.
Yeah. Hopefully we'll never try that. So
yeah.
Mordor says, wrongfully thou hast disfigured me, for I am innocent. Thy loss was not because of me. And Cerithwen goes, speaketh thou the truth? It was Guyenbach that robbed me. So she runs after him. Guyon's running away and he sees her gaining on him. So he's like, fuck. And he changes into a hare and keeps running. But Cerithwen turns herself into a greyhound and starts to catch up with him. So then he runs towards the river and turns into a fish. And then she chases after him, taking the form of an otter bitch. That's what it says in the book. I'm not calling her a bitch. I thought it was quite harsh. It's like, yeah, no, she's angry, but there's no need to call her a bitch.
Like, it's like, yo, transform into an otter bitch. Like, yeah,
that's literally what it says. I was reading my copy of the Mabinogion, and I was just like, harsh. Lean.
It didn't say whether or not it was a greyhound bitch.
No.
Or...
No, but an otter bitch is specified. It's a strange book. There's like mistakes in the book, and they like have little notes on it being like, oh, actually the poet met this person, they just wrote it down wrong. It's a mad book. So yeah. So then Guyon, he turns into a bird and comes out the water, and Cerithwen follows him in the shape of a hawk. So just about as she's going to catch him in her talons, he sees a heap of winnowed wheat and he changes himself into a grain to hide. And then she flies down, turns herself into a crested black hen and scratches him out, finds him and swallows him.
Wow.
So naturally she becomes pregnant with him. As you do. You know, and then 9 months later, she gives birth to him. And looking at him, she couldn't find it within her heart to kill him because he was so beautiful. So instead, she put him in a leather bag and chucked him in the sea.
What?
Yeah, she's like, oh, no, I'm not going to kill him. I'm just going to chuck him in the sea.
Well, that's going to kill him, isn't
it? Well, he's a magical baby. Apparently, magical babies can... Lots of babies get chucked in the sea, don't they? In legend, not in everyday life, thank goodness.
Yeah. Or get put in a basket to float down a river.
Yeah.
A lot
of foundlings.
I love that. One, you swallowed a grain. Now, instantly, when you told me that she swallowed the grain, I did think, when they go back to normal size... would he explode out of it? Because that's how my mind worked. But instead, it was the other weird thing, which was became pregnant with the blind man that's now a baby.
No, it's not a blind man. It's a little boy.
Oh, the little boy. Yeah.
Yeah. No, she remember she knocked the blind man's eye out.
Yeah. Right.
There's two of them. Yeah.
And then when giving birth to this child, looks at him and was like, you're so beautiful. I'm going to chuck you in a leather bag, put you in the ocean instead of stabbing you. Like, surely the stabbing is worse than doing that. Do they survive or does the baby?
Yeah, oh. That baby becomes Taliesin, the famous bard and magician.
The magician. Wow.
Yeah, so that is how Taliesin came to be. But yeah, what happened to Gwion, though? That's what I don't understand.
Yeah. She don't give a fuck about him anymore.
No. So yeah, that is my tale from the Mabinogi.
Well, one of the spells I had, or rituals, is a reimagining of that potion, of Ceridwen's cauldron potion. So it's like a potion that you would craft for wisdom, creativity, and transformation. So that links in really well, though, doesn't
That's good.
It?
So I can become an otter bitch if I want to.
You become an otter bitch if you want to. So the materials you need are spring water, several sprigs of rosemary, several sprigs of lavender, several sprigs of sage, several sprigs of peppermint, a few bay leaves, a sprinkling of myrrh resin powder. You need a glass jar and a glass bottle. So ideally, you need to craft full moon water for this. Okay.
Full moon is coming up.
Well, this podcast is out on the full moon. So if you're listening to this, you get your jar of water, you put it outside. Water. And
water.
And you put it outside, you charge it in the full moon, and you bring it in before the sun rises. If you don't worry, I never bring it in time. And so what that does, it charges the water with the powers of the full moon. So it's amplified with the transformative powers of the full moon. And then you're going to pour that full moon water into your cauldron or a slow cooker, which somebody recently told me is basically an electric cauldron. And
oh yeah, it is kind of.
That works. And the reason why you need to do that and why you would probably use a saucepan instead is you need to heat this water on low. So I would either do it in like a saucepan or you could put it in your electric cauldron. And one by one.
I'm going to start calling slow cookers electric cauldrons now.
It is though. Well, not many people have. I've got a mini cauldron. It's not one that could go on fire or anything like that. So not many people have like a cauldron that can actually be heated up. And if you do, like they're really expensive and stuff like that. And people find them from like antique shops. And then one by one, you're going to add the herbs while stirring in a dosil. So with each herb that you add, you say the name followed by the intention. For instance, rosemary for stimulation, stimulating the mind, lavender for uplifting the mood, and so forth. Once you have added all the herbs, you allow the potion to simmer on the lowest heat setting for 1 hour and 1 minute. Stirring occasionally. I don't know what the 1 minute does.
It's like that year and a day thing, isn't it? There's just something magical about it. Isn't 11 a very magical number?
Yeah, I'm not into the whole like magic numerology. Yeah, because 11 is a big thing. And
I hate maths, so I'm not bothered.
333, that's something, isn't it?
3 is a magic number.
Yeah, but I know it's if you see a 333, like 333. A lot of people say when you look at your phone or you look at the clock and it's 11:11 again, that is sort of magical. But it's not something that I'm hugely interested in.
I like cowboy time.
What's cowboy time? What is happening?
I don't know.
This is a weird one.
We're just all excited, I think.
Yeah, we're just excited. So, again. So you're going to, as we said, we're going to do it for 1 hour and 1 minute. And after that's elapsed, you take the potion off the heat and you're going to allow it to cool for 10 to 15 minutes. You would strain it through probably like a bit of cloth into the glass bottle, and then you would label it and store it in a cool place. So it kind of go into your witch's pantry ready for when you want to use it. And then you would use this potion doing rituals. So if you did like a normal ritual for creativity, wisdom, or transformation, you would anoint your thumb with 3 drops and massage it into your third eye. So if you know chakras, if you don't, your third eye is in yoga, it's in the middle of your sort of in between your eyes on your forehead. So you would sort of use this potion, anoint your thumb with 3 drops, and then you're popping it into your third eye. And that's it. Why are you laughing?
I was thinking about the electric cauldron thing.
Oh, you still...
I was like, I'm going to become a real wanker and I'm going to start calling my vacuum cleaner my electric broomstick.
Oh.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, dear.
I don't do much chakra work, but I do, like, if you're feeling a bit stressed, like, just having a little twiddle with your third eye is really good, like.
I'd like to learn more about it. I have a book that has a lot of stuff about chakras, but sometimes I'm not sure about anyone who's like listening. Sometimes it's just a lot, isn't it? It's like, right, I need to know about my chakras and I need to know about the moon. And then, so pick and choose and study whatever you want. But yeah, your third eye, that's where you normally see in yoga, people will put their thumbs there and say namaste.
Which just means hello.
Yeah.
So you finish the yoga class, you say hello.
You say hello to your third eye.
Yeah. I was looking at like Kabbalah, because I was like, oh, maybe we could do an episode on Kabbalah. And I was just like, this is fucking complicated. I don't know if I'd be able to explain this to anyone.
No, let's keep it light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yay.
I do have a few other little bits. Again, these all like cross over, like multiple stories and places. So I've also got a altar setup for Hells. So
for what?
For Hells. So Helium, who was obviously the Norse god in Midgard, the god of death.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can call upon the goddess of the underworld in death and rebirth. So again, this is linking it into Norse mythology. I know lots of people know who Hel is through like the Thor movies, but I've recently seen some pictures of what they actually look like. And
they don't look like Cate Blanchett, you're saying?
It's not Cate Blanchett, more or less. They are literally like half dead, so half their skull is showing.
Oh.
And like half of them is like rotten away. So the materials that you would need for this are an icy like blue altar cloth. With things like altar cloths, a tip that I always use, I go to like charity shops and look for when people have like the square scarves, or they have like lace and little tablecloths. You'll get them cheaper there. A black pillar candle or one of the thin like spell candles. You would also need a white one. And you would also need offerings for Hell. So here you're thinking things like bones. Now, you don't have to use real bones. And if you are using real bones, I'm thinking like more animal bones, like don't put a human bone.
Yeah, don't use human bones.
Yeah, we're not condoning that. No. But you could use fake ones. Again, it's the imagery of it. Coffin nails. A grave
I have a coffin nail somewhere that Max gave me. I need to look for it.
Yeah, grave ribbon. So that's when you sort of, you know, when you put paper over a grave and then you like scan it. That
I just thought it's like a sexual thing. You know, grave ribbon. No, I know. I'm sorry. I'm stopped.
Getting rubbed in the grave. Graveyard. it's for a lot of people. A graveyard dirt and rotten fruit as well. So it is like all the imagery of like death. You can also have a skull on there and a death mask. I'm not sure if anyone on the podcast is familiar with a death mask, but it's when they would make the mask of a deaf person. So they would kind of put plaster on it and they would keep it. I think it's quite like Italian like culture,
French
thing
as well. They do it in France a lot. They do like a papier mâché over the face and then like keep it on the wall, like, which is
So lots of people for this make their own death masks and then they adorn their altar with that. Nice creative project to do. Again, like a silver plate or offering plate and matches or a lighter. So you're going to meditate on an intention for this death and rebirth ritual. So perhaps you're struggling with ruminating thoughts, or you're looking to leave a toxic habit or relationship behind, and you consider the two sides of it. So the negative aspect that you'd like to leave behind and the positive outcome of your desire. So that can be loads of different things. And
On a solid surface, in a sacred space, you're going to lay down your blue altar cloth, and this represents the frozen chambers of Hell's realm. You're going to place your candles on the altar, so the black one on the left and the white one on the right. And to this is to represent duality of Hell, so a duty to condemn people to Niflheim. Yeah, that's the opposite of Midgard. Opposite of, where do they go?
Asgard.
No, where's the place they go if they die?
Valhalla.
Valhalla, yeah. And her objective lens that sees no malice. So again, you've got the opposites. In the center of Alta, you're going to place the skull or death mask to represent Hell's bones, which are visible on the skeletal side of her body. So yeah, as I said, if you Google a picture of what she actually looked like, she is like half like rotten away. In the front of the skull, place your silver plate with your offerings for Hell. So as I said, these are your bones, your coffin nails, your grave, dirt, and your rotten fruit. I personally wouldn't put rotten fruit on there, but if that's what you want to do, and when you prepare to call upon Hell, you light the black candle and focus on your intentions. Form it into an also tangible writhing ball of shadows and blow it slowly into the flame and say, Hell, goddess of the underworld, I call upon your blessing of death for this part of me to travel to your realm beyond the gates and into the hall of the dead, where it will never be freed. And then again, you're going to do the same thing and visualize the writhing ball of shadows has been, you know, burnt into the candle flame and transported into Hell, and blow out the black candle. And then you're going to light the white candle and you're going to visualize the construction positive outcome you desire as a burning ball of white light. And you're going to wrap it in a protective coating of a seed. That, I don't know, I thought something else then.
What do you think?
When it said a protective coating of seed, I was like, not of a seed. I was like, ugh. Because we had the snake come, you know, fiasco a couple of episodes ago. So anyway, you're going to blow it slowly into the flame and you can say, Hell, goddess of the underworld, I call upon your blessing of life for that part of me that has died to sprout new seed and flourish into the light above. And then you're going to keep this candle lit until it burns through. Isn't that like a really interesting one?
Yeah, I like the symbology of it. I'm going to get my bones out and put them on my altar.
Amazing. Because I think, I think a lot of people use Hell as a deity if you feel connected to the Norse gods. I find the Norse gods like really, really, really interesting.
They are interesting. You have to be careful though. There's a lot of crossover with white supremacists, unfortunately. They fucking ruin it for everyone.
Oh, of course they do. And I think it's the case of, yeah, there's a lot of like detail in it as well. And yeah, some people will feel a connection. Some people like want to feel a connection. I do like have a few like other things. There's loads for like this time of year. There's so many rituals. So again, on the same lines of honoring the dead earlier, I've also got a little ritual for a remembrance candle. So it's to, you know, honor the beloved memory of your ancestors. So I'm not sure if you've seen Kat, when people like dress a candle.
Yeah. Anoint the candle.
Yeah, with various bits and pieces. I've seen it quite a lot. I think I've got a spell kit from Witch Casket to do that, but I've never done it, so I probably should at some point. But you would need a white soy pillar candle and 4 cups of soy wax flakes, so tongs, 1/2 cup of dried rosemary, 1/2 cup of dried mugwort, and an ancestor's luxury. So what an ancestor's luxury is say your nan likes smoking, you would pop a bit of tobacco on there, or if there was a certain perfume or smell. So if your nan always smelled of lavender or roses, for example, you could, I always say nan automatically, it could be anybody, but you could sprinkle
your dead nine's perfume though.
Yeah, or like a bit of roses, or I know for me, so my granddad always smelled of Aramis, which is an aftershave. So if I smell Aramis, I automatically think of him. So you could spray something like that on there. Again, powdered makeup, or, you know, like a bit of wine even, like on there. And you're then going to sprinkle, so have that a small piece of paper, a writing instrument, and something to light the candle with. So in a small double boiler or your electric cauldron, heat the wax flakes on a low to medium heat until the temperature is melted, until the temperature of the melted wax reaches 79 Celsius. On a baking sheet or other protective surface, you're going to mix your rosemary and mugwort and gather it into a small pile on the center of the sheet. And then you're going to sprinkle the bit of luxury your ancestor enjoyed in life on there. And as you sprinkle it, you say, as above, as below, enjoy this luxury before you go. And then on the small piece of paper, you're going to write your ancestor's name. And then you're going to dip the pillar candle into the melted wax using a pair of tongs and pull it out quickly and shake off the excess wax. And then you're going to roll the candle in the herbs and the luxury and the bit of paper on the surface until the surface is fully covered. And then you're going to stand the candle up on its base and press the paper with your ancestor's name, you know, into the middle of the candle. So if the wax is already hardened, you can like dab a bit of more wax on there and get the paper to really stick on there. And then you light the candle and place it on the altar to honor your ancestors. So that's a really nice one as well, isn't
it? Yeah, it's a lovely one.
Yeah, it's really sweet actually. What I would say is if you wanted to make this a bit simpler, you could just heat up the candle slightly instead of burning wax flakes, which I think is normally what people do, but
that's what I do usually, or I just rub it in some oil so it sticks to the candle.
Yeah exactly, you don't have to do anything like complicated. And then the last thing I have, gosh, I feel like I've been talking for ages.
No. You always say this. We talk the same amount, like I'm just like da 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 without thinking about it.
Yeah, I guess it's hearing your own voice like for so long. So this is a spell for psychic awareness. As we said, during this time, your psychic abilities, if you believe you have any, are heightened at this time. So on the night, you know, of Halloween, Samhain, Samhain, you're going to set the table as if you're giving a dinner party. And you're going to lay places for your dearly departed and leave name tags for each setting. If you have photos of your loved ones in spirit, put them somewhere prominent in the room. Place a vase of white flowers in the center of the table, along with a white candle associated with peace and spiritual energy. You're going to light the candle and you're going to eat your meal at the table. But before you tuck in, say, either out loud or silently, any messages of love that you have for those in spirit. And again, it's just supposed to heighten your like psychic awareness, but also it's like inviting people to the table.
I wonder why everyone believed the veil was thinner then. Like, it's not just, you know, it seems to be all over like human civilization, you know? Like, is that something they've learned from each other? Is that something that's developed organically, simultaneously?
Well, it's the same as when you've got legends go across the world, don't they?
Yeah, and stories as well.
You've got things like, you know, like about vampires across the world, and werewolves, that people have similar things everywhere. But it does make you think the thinning of the veil thing is, has different cultures experienced that over this time period?
Yeah, I just wondered, like, do people more likely to see ghosts then? They were like, by the way, guys, this is when the ghosts come out, so we've got to do all this stuff to keep the ghosts away. Yeah. It's so interesting, like, from an anthropological point of view.
I guess there's always something about keeping evil at bay, isn't there, in lots of different things. And you just think maybe once it came a time and they were like, oh, we're going to make it one night where we make sure that, well, one, you know, in a lot of the Welsh things, you said you're keeping evil at bay. And then a lot of it is inviting these people into your house, into your home.
Yeah, it's same with like most of magic, isn't it? You get the bad out, you bring the good in. Or what you want in, what you don't want out. Yeah. Oh, did you see that reel I posted today on our thing?
No, no.
Oh, it's so funny. It's like one about cleansing. So it's like someone in a sheet. So this witch walks in and she's got like crystals and smoke and sage, and like this person, she like chucks the crystal at the person and then like starts fucking chasing him around with the sage. It's so funny.
Oh my gosh. Kara sent me, our friend Kara sent me the other day this picture, and it said burning sage, and the kids start writhing like in pain saying I can't breathe, and it says I bet you can't, demons.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah, but it is really interesting, and I wonder then how obviously it's developed into this like scary thing, like that people like to be scared at this time of year. You've got horror films, and I wonder how that's like happened as well, like the thinning of the veil. Yeah, it's always been that we're bringing like ghosts in, but none of the things we've read here about really about talking about like scary things.
Yeah, no, the fucking white lady is scary. The tail,
yeah, that is
pig with the headless lady is scary. They're gonna, yeah, eat the soul. That's scary.
Yeah, but I wonder where that's developed then into people like looking for that scare.
And I tell you what else is fucking scary. So you said about like spider webs and things. There are spiders everywhere at the moment. They're fucking out in force. They're huge. Like, oh god. Like saying I'm scared of them, but I don't kill them since I turned vegan.
Yeah, I don't tend to like kill them. I'm not frightened of them. I'm more scared, especially the ones that we've got and the ones you see at this time of year. They're all the males, aren't they? They're looking for their females. So they are bigger, and it's just how black and thick their legs are. Otherwise, I'm fine. Like, there's a spider at the moment in our like corner of our door outside, and it's so impressive. The other day they caught they call them like stink bugs, the green shield bugs.
Oh yeah.
And they don't even fly. And I was like, how did you get it up there? And I watched as they like proper wrapped it up, and I was like, wow, like how did you do that? So I do think they're like amazing, but yeah, you still don't want one on you.
No. What's mad is, you know those cellar spiders, the really thin, spindly leg ones?
Mm.
They can murk a fucking hunter spider easy.
Wow.
So like, you know, one of those big wolf spiders got like walked, just fucking trundled past his nest, and I thought, oh fucking hell, he's gonna eat that cellar spider. Like I'm sat watching it from a good distance, just there, just like fixated in horror, and the cellar spider just fucking killed it straight away, like just bit it and then put all its legs together, like hog tied the thing and started wrapping it up. It was like, wow. Nature is savage.
I guess this is a warning if you're really frightened of spiders.
Yeah, we should have done a trigger warning at the start, shouldn't we?
Yeah, like apparently it's a really like learned like fear.
Yes, I remember the moment where I became afraid of spiders.
Yeah, and we learn it from other people, and it's the same with things like wasps. And when you get any children that are scared of things like that, it's because like so they've seen that fear in somebody else.
Yeah.
And it's same with sharks. Like none of us in our day-to-day lives encounter a shark, but we're all
petrified
like
of sharks. Yeah
and it's like a complete learned behavior through like films and the things that we've seen. So it is a weird one, isn't it? But yeah, there are loads of spiders, and daddy long legs, they're everywhere. Hate them too. But yeah, that's it. That's all I've got about like other bits and pieces. Should we draw some tarot?
Yeah. Some spooky tarot. You love my spooky voice, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I had a cauldron mug bought for me recently.
Ah.
Which is cute. And some little gold mini pumpkins. I'm really excited to pop them like around. And yeah, I've drunk out of my cauldron like every day since.
Oh, I think I'm going to do my, so I've got like a quite autumny kind of altar on the go at the moment. I'm going to do my spooky altar on the full moon.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, that's a good time to do it.
Right, Gnostic State. Time for the jingle.
Do you want to go first?
Yeah. So I have it's upside down. 5. 8 of Pentacles.
Oh,
something about hard work. Probably then being fucking lazy. Right then, come here. Pentacles. Oh, for fuck's sake, book. Blaming the book. Okay. 8 of Pentacles. So it's, this card is about skill, labor, craftsmanship, dedication, and apprenticeship. The need to hone your specific skill and learn. So I need to do some learning.
Oh. Is there anything on the horizon that you want to learn at the moment?
I don't know. I've got to talk for an hour to people who are going to be doing my job. So I probably should learn about my job so I can tell people.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've got the 8 of Swords.
Okay. So look. We both got an 8.
Yeah. Do. It's got a lady tied up on it, which...
Nice. Sexy.
Yes, a bit.
Is, which way is it?
It's upright for me. Okay. That's rare, I know.
Okay, so this card, the general overview keywords are trapped, blind, powerless, tied up, self-imposed boundaries. So your thoughts are trapping you with self-imposed boundaries and a victim mindset. Oh, fucking hell.
Jesus Christ.
So I'm stupid and you're fucking victim blaming yourself. What the fuck?
Oh, I don't know.
These cards are so mean to us.
I know. Am I trapped in my emotions? Probably. That sounds like a me thing to do.
Do I need to learn?
Yeah. Oh, this tarot always calling us out. All I kept thinking when I was looking at this card, I was saying, I don't mind being tied up. Is that what this is going to be about? But
Maybe that's what it means. Maybe it's just that I know everything and I'm absolutely fine the way I am.
And I just like to be bound.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck you, book.
Take that, tarot.
So yeah, that's our spooky Samhain episode.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if we had I'm just gonna ignore the spooky stuff. If we had anything,
do you have any questions this week?
We didn't have questions. I didn't ask for any. I'm trying to think if we have any messages to pass on or anything like that. I don't think we do.
We've got a mini episode coming up.
Yeah. So that will air after this one.
Yeah. We're going to have the illustrious Elle Harper on the show.
And what's Elle going to be talking to us about, Kat?
About their own personal practice. So we're going to send them up the questions and then we're going to have a talk about their journey and practice.
Amazing. Be nice to talk to other people about it.
Yeah, it'd be cool. It's a good episode.
It was a good episode. Let us know what you're gonna do to celebrate. Parts of my costume came today, so.
Ooh, what you gonna be?
I'm going as Goth Oval Pack.
Oh, amazing. That'd be so hot.
Yeah, it's a really niche thing if you don't know who Orval Pack is. Basically, I'm wearing a Laura Fringin all in black. And
be a sexy cowgirl.
Yes, like
cow person.
Yeah, or I'm feeling it. I think it's going to be good. I kind of like, because I'm going to be wearing the mask, that I don't have to wear a lot of eye makeup and I don't think I have to do my eyebrows, which
no point if you're wearing a mask.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. Basically it just feeds into my massive like mask thing and my obsession with Orval Peck. So
nice.
Yeah,
I'm going to be a bat. Usually I'm cat. On Halloween, I am bat.
That's a good costume.
Yeah, I'm going to wear nothing. Like literally nipple pasties, a thong, and this all-in-one glittery costume I've got with some bat wings.
I love that people can just go really, really slutty for Halloween.
Slutty Halloween, yeah.
Yeah, or people wear things that they're not confident to wear the rest of the year. And I guess this year, it's just going to be wild, isn't it? Because nobody's been able to do it for so long. So people will have costumes planned from like a year ago. Because it was a year ago, wasn't it, where we were all saying, you know, self-isolate now, like don't break the rules and save Halloween. And unfortunately, we, you know, it was a deadly virus. It wasn't going to like... go away.
And Halloween was on a Saturday, for fuck's sake.
I know. And that's what I don't like this year, is that it's on the Sunday. My birthday is the Saturday, and I wish it was the other way. I wish it was like the other way, you know?
Yeah.
There we go. Can't argue. Let us know what you're doing. And, you know, if you fancy seeing a bat and, you know, Goth or Valpak, I'm sure we'll share some pictures of it.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, have a spooky Samhain. Kalangayaf. Blessed be. Bye, guys.
Bye.